This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. This is Geek Speak. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Going well. And yourself?
I'm great, man.
It is quite warm today.
It is. It is. I was down in Denver over the weekend, and actually Saturday was beautiful down in Denver. It was like in the high 70s.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was. And then Sunday came back with a vengeance.
So. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I went down and did some, went and played some bocce ball.
All right.
Downtown Denver.
Nice. So,
you know the spot, right? You've been down to the Rhine House?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a perfect geek location.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know why I think bocce ball is geeky, but, you know, it's kind of a old school kind of sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great. You can go and play indoor bocce, air conditioned.
Even better.
There's nothing worse than playing bocce and sweating at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, gosh.
So, you're the,
the biggest voter data breach ever. And it wasn't the Democrats.
Oh, it seems like they're pretty good. They seem to do those hand in hand anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know what's worse, having your own stuff get breached or having your client's stuff get breached.
I don't like either of them.
Yeah, I don't like either, but it definitely, it's a whole different feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know, when, not that it's ever happened to me necessarily, but, you know, just I can imagine it's like knowing that you were careless with your own stuff and that it got out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that you're careless with, let's see, how many people's?
198 to 200 million is the numbers I'm seeing out there.
Is that all? Is that
just 61% of the population of the United States? Yes.
Yep. Yep.
So,
and doesn't look like there's any credit card information, but it was 1.1 terabytes of data, including birth dates, home addresses, telephone numbers, and political views of nearly 60% of the entire U.S. population.
One of these times I need to go in there and look and see what the Democrats and the Republicans think of me. I'm sure it's very confusing.
Yeah, really? Yeah. So, yeah, if any of our listeners out there want to weigh in on, you know, what they think what should the consequence be, you know, for when companies that are holding onto your data do these things. And I'm not even being political about it, you know.
I mean, yep.
God knows plenty of for-profit corporations have gone before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they Republican National Committee is just the latest lucky victim, I guess you'd call it. So
you're listening to Geek Speak on Katie and Kay, 963-2976. Call in with your data breach questions or concerns, pontifications, whatever you'd like.
Pontifications, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to be a pontiff to pontificate?
I don't know. Probably not.
Since I have and I'm not, I'm glad. I also noticed that, so this was on an Amazon cloud server.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? And I guess I don't know if it was in the same audit that it came to light, but I guess a bunch of U.S. military information also was unveiled or got out. I seem to have lost the article on that one, but none of it was what they call secure information or classified.
Well, they have different classifications levels, so it depends on what level.
Yeah,
it was
got
so.
It. This information was classified as it would only be dangerous if it fell into certain people's hands. So
like everyone on the internet, though.
Yeah. People who don't know what to do with it, you know. So it's did you notice that three major Grand Theft Auto cheats websites got shut down?
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was asking Matt before the show about his gaming habits.
I'd be interested in playing Grand Theft Auto 5 online. That could be interesting. It should be. There's a lot of. It seems like there's a lot of games in that kind of chaos, first person shooter chaos kind of, or third person, I guess, is most of the GTA games.
Got it.
So, but that could, I don't know, that it has some appeal to go and have some havoc.
You know, is it just me that connects these dots? But it occurs to me that in an era where, like, a lot of people are going out, especially, you know, I don't know exactly what generation you would call them, but there seems to be a pretty heavy concentration of people in the, you know, like the 20 somethings range, who are out driving for Lyft and Uber. And so to me, it seems kind of, because I know that the demographic of Grand Theft Auto is like kind of right solidly in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that somebody is like gets up, spends a certain part of their day playing Grand Theft Auto, and then gets out, goes out to their car and puts a little Uber sticker on their car and goes to work. Isn't that a little bit unsettling?
Well, it's a little unsettling when you like go and every once in a while I'll see this a GIF of this guy on like a moped or a motorcycle. I'm not sure exactly what it is.
Uh-huh.
And he goes into this intersection and hits the corner of a car, and the little moped or whatever goes flying off to the side. He goes and like tucks and rolls and, you know, and then just gets up and calmly, very calmly, like it does in GTA, walks away like nothing happened. It's like, I meant to do that.
Kind okay.
of, like, you know, like a cat would fall off a table or something. Got kind it. Of thing. Just sort okay. of calmly walks away.
Yeah.
And when you're playing, at least in GTA 3, that was the last one I really played heavily.
Mm-hmm.
That would, you know, see these crazy things happen like that, and the guy would just calmly walk away. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, is that art imitating life or life imitating art? Which one is it?
That's a good question. It's
so, but I think with that one, to me, it really comes down to whether the person has a grasp of reality. You know, can you differentiate between the gameplay and real life? That's the real question. So, you know, mental illness is obviously a problem with the differentiating those two.
I would agree. And I'll back off a little bit and say that there are probably a large number of Grand Theft Auto players / Uber drivers out there who do know the difference.
Yeah.
So
now I have seen a couple studies saying that people who play race car games have faster, or play games in general, have faster reflexes and have better responses, to bad situations on the road.
Uh-huh.
So you have faster reflex times, and you've spent hundreds of hours or thousands of hours playing a game that is so realistic that as far as driving's concerned, is, you know, you're, the experience is transferable. It's not, you know, just a game. It's pretty close to real life when you turn up the settings to hard.
Yeah. Got it. Well, you know, I've actually been kind of experimenting, doing my own little experiment with my cat and a laser pointer. And the theory being that the more hours my cat has in on the laser pointer, you know, sharpening his reflexes, the better he will be at catching mice. So far it's pretty much worked out. He's really good at catching mice. And
so you put the laser pointer on the mouse and...
No, I'm just the laser pointer is a proxy for the mouse, and that you know, the laser pointer darts back and forth 3 times per second, and he's now able to track down and hunt down a mouse that changes direction 3 to 4 times a second, you know, easily.
Excellent.
So, yes. He is quite good at it, actually. So,
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. Call in with your questions.
Yeah, I think Donna Dalton's going to call us in. She said she's like on the side of a freeway somewhere in L.A.
Oh, all right. You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
We're good. Where are you driving?
I'm just coming back from my high school reunion, believe it or not, from Ojai. I was in Ojai earlier. Yeah, so it was a good weekend, but I was with all my girlfriends. I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
Well,
hold on, just a second. We've got some sort of strange effect on your line. Is that what's any idea what's causing that?
I have no idea.
Can you hear that? She sounds like she's somebody.
Is that I can call back.
No,
it's better now.
I got better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, 5 out of 6 of us have iPhones, so we were using the AirDrop for the, to exchange photos, but one of them didn't have, you know, has an Android. Is there any, there's no way to just airdrop to an Android or an app that can do that?
It's called Dropbox.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Well, it depends on the phone, but a lot of them have NFC, which is, I believe is what AirDrop is using, unless it's using Bluetooth or something else. But you could see if there is something you could run where you could do NFC, which is near-field communication, between the iPhone and the Android.
Because I know Android to Android works, right? They have something. Isn't that right?
Well, that's the, and I've used that. It's called NFC, and you do a share, and you put the phone, if, as long as both phones have NFC, you,
right.
Then you touch the phones together, and it's near field, and it sends it across.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. That was really fun to use.
Yeah, the articles.
I really liked to use AirDrop because most of them hadn't used it before, so that was fun.
Yeah. I've actually just started to kind of get into it myself a little bit. Now, tell me, Donna, do you have a Mac anymore these days, a Mac computer?
I have my old MacBook Pro, yeah.
Okay. And are you running Sierra on it?
No, I can't. It's not. I can't put the latest operating system on it.
Oh, okay. Got it. I was just curious. I've been trying to get this universal clipboard to work, and I haven't really had much luck with it. It's
what do you mean by universal?
But my mom has an iMac. I can try it on that.
Uh huh. So you know how that works. You can supposedly, I don't know. I guess it's done by Apple ID. You can technically, if you have the latest version of iOS on your phone and the latest version of Mac, if you run in Sierra on your Mac. You can, the minute you copy something to the clipboard, if you're both on the same Wi-Fi network, you copy it to the clipboard, it should be become available to paste from the clipboard on one of the other devices. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I have not tried that.
Yeah. Had you not heard about that function?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
That was what got me to finally take the plunge and update to Sierra. You know, I held off for the longest time, and somebody said, "Oh yeah, you can do universal clipboard," and I did it, and I haven't been able to get it to work. So,
oh, you haven't been able to get it.
No,
to work.
No,
okay.
I haven't.
I'll try it.
Yeah, but yeah, you can report back to us on that. It's that's something that I've always from time to time seems like it'd be a really handy thing to be able to do, But you end up going through a couple extra steps. It's like, okay, I'll text it to myself, and so on and so forth.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay, I'll try that on my on the iMac at my mom's, and I'll let you know because I have my Apple ID on that.
Got it.
Yeah, I use a third-party program for that from Seamless. It's called Synergy. And so you run one of your computers as a Synergy server, and it allows you to use your mouse and keyboard, and then it does a network connection between that computer and your other computers, and you can move the mouse, and it'll copy clipboard, and I think it'll do simple file transfers and things like that.
I've used Synergy before, and it's pretty cool. But can it go from mobile devices to desktops?
I just see it for Windows, Mac OS, and Linux right now. So
got it.
Probably okay. Not.
Yeah. So
have you guys, let me ask you something. Do you guys have anybody use the bar on the new MacBook?
With the little customizable shortcuts? Is that what
right.
you're talking about? I haven't actually customized it myself. I pretty much take it as it comes. It always seems to know what I want to, what I'm looking for a shortcut to, though. So how about you? Have you played with it at all?
No, I haven't. But, it's one of those things where I need to decide if I buy a new MacBook Pro. What if I'll buy the kind with the bar, or if I should buy one of the older models?
Yeah, got it. Yeah. When I'm trying to talk somebody out of buying one of the new MacBook Pros, the main thing I go to is you just have to be absolutely sure that you get the amount of RAM and the amount of storage that you want, because most of them aren't upgradable, or I don't know if any of them
right.
are anymore, so.
Yeah. It's been like that for a few years. It's too bad.
Yeah, which as a technician makes me profoundly sad. So
yes,
it's yes. So have you heard of the website called Will Robots Take My Job? Or did
no,
we talk? Did we talk
I
about that
not.
Last week? Am I beating a dead horse here? It's like there's a really fun website called Will Robots Take My Job, and you can basically enter in your job. and it'll come back and it'll tell you what the, it's actually called willrobotstakemyjob.com. So.
Okay. I'll look at that.
Yeah. Check it out. So.
I don't know that they could take my job right now, but probably at some point.
You might be surprised. I mean, I put in robot technician and it came back and said, yep, you're in danger.
Danger, Will Robinson.
It says robots are watching you is what it says.
Oh, that's funny.
So,
well, good. Well, I'm glad I was able to call in. I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right. Have a good day there.
Thanks,
Donna.
Guys.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
We're just chomping at the bit to fix something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Printers, so, computers, iPads, right. iPhones, whatever. Android phones.
You can spare yourself what I call $100 cable jiggling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We don't have to come to your house and do it in person.
Nokia 3100. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have an old Nokia 3100 brick that has a problem. Oh, wait. Those don't have problems. We forgot.
Ah. What is that Nokia 3100?
That's like the very first like brick phone that Nokia made.
Oh, you know, okay.
I had one when I was in high school, and it was just a bomb-proof little phone. It worked better than my phone for it being a phone currently.
Yeah, got it. I started out with the Motorola bag phone because they actually, even to this day, you can get better range out of a Motorola bag phone as long as they continue to use, what is it, GSM? Is that the original cellular technology?
It's either GSM or the what's the other one?
Yeah,
PCI. I think it was GSM was the first one.
Anyway, as long as they continue to support GSM, the bag phone will get out in at times places where no other phone will. Mm-hmm. It's because it's all analog. You know,
I think they finally shut the G2 network down recently. I had a client who we had to set up a network.
Uh huh.
A long-range network as opposed to, because it had some system on a G2 network and they shut it down. And
oh, interesting.
So that may not work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had a bag phone, and then I'm trying to think what my next, I don't know if I went straight to a Motorola Razr, maybe.
That was a great phone. I had one of those as well.
It was. I was sad when that guy died. And then I think I had a BlackBerry for a short period of time. That thing was really a piece of junk, though. I bought one of the cheap BlackBerries. You know, it had a little joystick on it. It was really horrible. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
So we're talking about BitLocker.
Yeah.
But before the show.
Yeah, I'm still kind of trying to wander my way through that one. So I guess BitLocker is a Microsoft in-house encryption.
Well, it looks like it uses the AES standard.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's the same one that SSL uses for when you connect to your bank and everywhere else. It's the advanced encryption standard. There's several that were, possibilities for those, and the other ones are available. But the one that was called, I'm not sure.
It looks like we got a call.
All right, you're on with the geeks.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing good.
Thanks.
Great. My name's Chuck, and I've got a couple issues I want to ask you about, if you may. The first one is I have the hello.
We're here.
Great. Hang on with it. I can hear you a little better now. So I have a Toshiba satellite laptop, and it has basically crashed and burned. I can get into the BIOS. It will get into a diagnostic and then automatic repair mode, and it will just keep going and going for a couple of hours. And it'll shut itself off, and when I try and reboot, it will do the same thing, shut itself off. I've used a USB stick with Windows 10 recovery, and no joy on that.
Okay.
Do you know if the BIOS section does it have its own diagnostic mode, and have you run physical diagnostics on the hard drive?
The BIOS,
so
I'm not sure about its own diagnostic
mode. So, like, right when the computer... So some of them, when you start the computer, you'll say, like, you know, press tab for additional information, press, you know, F2 to enter the BIOS, press delete for, you know. And usually one of them is to get into, like, a diagnostic page that's built into the BIOS, and you can run...
A screen like that. Really, I've just been pressing F2 to get into the BIOS.
All right.
Got it. You might want to Google around and see if there are any kind of factory diagnostics built into that Toshiba. A lot of the manufacturers have a diagnostic partition that's built into the hard drive, and they will pretty much give you the full-on skinny. My first suspicion, and just in listening to your symptoms, is that your hard drive's got some sort of a problem. And
that's what I'm kind of thinking, too. It gave me a little bit of a warning, like hard drive failure, and then crashed on me.
Got it.
So I'm wondering if, you know, the laptop in and of itself, I have a couple and I have a tablet, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Just wondering, I've heard you could possibly use a disk of Ubuntu Live. I just want the data off of it more than anything.
Yeah. I'll tell you the truth. I think you're the least expensive, and you know, if you're into do it yourself type of thing, probably the best way to go about it was the hard drives on most of those are really easy to get out. There's usually a little door on the bottom. You know, it's got a couple of screws. It's about the size of a pack of cards, maybe a little bit smaller. And like down at the computer store in Glenwood, the software store down by Subway, you can pick up a little USB to SATA adapter, and you can basically, you know, fire that drive up and then plug the USB cable. You know, it gives you a USB cable to plug into a computer. It'll mount it just like an external hard drive. And even if a drive
is... What's that cable run, you think?
Oh, gosh. I don't think they're maybe $20.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. It's not, you're not going to break the bank. I mean, if it's more than 30, things have changed drastically down there. But,
fair enough. You know, I just don't want to pay $90 bench time for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. It's really, really affordable. And that way, you know, you can basically, if you can just plug it into a friend's computer, I've seen a lot of times drives will, you can basically go in and look at stuff and copy stuff and back stuff up, even if a drive won't boot. So
yeah, it just really depends on how far gone the drive is at this point. You know, if that's probably the case. I mean,
I
it could
keep
be
thinking if it's it getting could, into the Windows 10 diagnostic and repair mode, there's something salvageable on there.
That is a fairly good sign, actually.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So
you got that right.
It's just not completely going through and booting up Windows.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So sooner rather than later is definitely because if it's demagnetizing or, you know, if there's some part of the disk that's a particular part of the physical disk is failing, it'll get worse over time usually. So time is of the essence a little bit with these kinds of problems.
Yep.
Okay. So my next problem, and this one might be much simpler. Picked up this old gaming rig from a guy. It's pretty nice, and I got a good price on it and everything. And I'm not a gamer, but I'm using it as my media server for movies and such and things like that. It will occasionally, when at night and I leave it and go to sleep and everything, come back the next day. Sometimes it has completely shut down. Power button does nothing. There's a reset button does nothing. But if I actually physically yank the power cord out of the power supply for about 10 seconds, put it back in, hit the power button, everything's fine. Is my power supply going, do you think?
Have you gone into the power settings and made absolutely sure in every possible place that it's set to not go to sleep ever?
No, I haven't done that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if you go into the power settings, or it's actually under display customization area in Windows, that's the place.
This will be 7 Pro.
Yeah.
So it should be under settings. Yeah.
Exactly. It actually hides under screensaver a lot of times. So.
Okay.
So, hey, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck with that.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate your help.
Right. Take care.
Have a good one.
Uh-huh.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy. Have a great week, everyone.
Yep. Take care.